Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Abound in Hope. My name is Tom Regan. I'm your host today, and I'm here with...
Hey, this is Tom McGregor.
And I've got a couple of special guests in the Imprint recording studio. We have with us...
Kathy Boone.
And...
Chance Philly.
We are excited to have Kathy Boone and Chance Philly, who I like to call Chance Phileo, the Greek verb to love. couldn't resist. And today we are in a relationship series, and we are talking about singleness. And so both Kathy and Chance are single and serving the Lord. And sometimes singleness is overlooked, or singles are overlooked in the church, which is ironic given that Jesus was single and the Apostle Paul was single, and neither of them would have probably qualified to be a pastor in today's evangelical culture by today's standards because they were single, which is massively ironic. But today we want to have a conversation about singleness. And so I thought I would just throw this open to either of you guys to start. So just share some of your story. Like, did you grow up in a Christian home? Maybe a short testimony story, how you came to know the Lord. And was it in your mind when you were younger that you wanted to get married, or how did you think about that? Did you want to be married? You know, we'll get on to talking about singleness, but go ahead and start your stories. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, I'll go.
Okay, Chance.
Yeah, I grew up loosely in a Christian home. Mother was an attender of church. Father would tag along every now and then. So I had a little bit of familiarity with church and would occasionally go to the youth groups and everything. And I would say that I have been a believer in God. I guess I would say that I've been a believer in Jesus the majority of my life. Definitely not obedient to his commandments, though. And so by the time I was in junior high school, and my mom, you know, was having to wake me up in the morning to go to church, that was at the point that she kind of let me kind of start doing my own thing. So I pretty much stepped away from church at that point. And, you know, I guess I had never given marriage too much, you know, consideration when I was younger. I guess I was just, you know, maybe pursuing, you know, girls in a
worldly kind of way.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Pleasure. I mean, they're there to have fun with, you know, and certainly no sort of direction from scripture as far as relationship is concerned. And then college was where I entered into freedom, or so I thought, you know, and was pursuing, you know, women in a one night stand sort of capacity. There was no immorality.
Relationships were primarily about appetite.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess it would be a consumption sort of.
Yeah.
You know, stance towards towards relationship with women at that point, and dated loosely through that first year in college. But that's when really my life spiraled out of control with the drug addiction and stuff. And probably many people know that story. Probably quite a few don't. So if you don't know my story, feel free to ask it. I'm more than willing to share with you
the redemption. It's a beautiful story of Jesus coming into your life and
the redemption
saving
that's
you
in there. And so, but you know, as I've come into relationship with Jesus, over the last 6 years now, I have not felt a burning desire to be in a relationship with a woman or to pursue marriage.
Do you find that people think that's unique about you? Because when we first started having conversation, I'm like, here's an eligible bachelor, a good looking guy in his 30s, and he doesn't seem to be that interested in being in a relationship. And I found that compelling, as you've always seen in you since we got to know each other a hunger to serve the Lord.
Yeah. I would say it's kind of a mixed bag as far as people's thoughts on that.
Sure.
Probably more people than don't think that it's a little strange, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm at, mid-30s, and still single. Seemingly don't have anything, glaringly wrong with me.
Except the shagginess of the beard around your cheeks, maybe.
Sure. But that's only been the last, year.
True.
But
so there's a suspicion about what's going on with Chance.
There is. Mm-hmm. There must be something in the closet, right?
Yeah. Of course. Is that one of the questions?
I can see it in people's eyes.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Because the normal thing is to get married. And so if you're not married, then what's wrong with you? Or what's the problem? Is kind of the assumption. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, and that's kind of seems to be the trajectory of the conversation is, oh, you're not married. Well, I'm sure that somebody's going to come along. and so now,
Kathy's enjoying that. You can say something, Kathy.
I'm going to wait.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right.
You know, to the believer. Talking about Christ and how he's sufficient for me is understandable, right? That kind of grounds my position. Mm-hmm. To the world, though, that's strange.
Well, even in the church, it might sound strange. We talk about how Christ is sufficient for us, but there are people, understandably, who really want to be married, and that's a God-given desire. And if they want to be married and they're not, then they're fighting to feel Christ is sufficient for them. And so for you to say that, I think is wonderful and beautiful, but it's not just hard for people in the world to understand and believe, even people in the church, I think.
Yeah, what do you attribute that to?
Well, maybe it'll jump the conversation maybe a little too far forward, because I do want to talk about kind of church culture and some of their experiences in the church. And marriage is a beautiful thing, and it's easier to focus. So in short, to answer your question, McGregor, I think it has something to do with the value of marriage in Scripture and the enjoyment of marriage that married couples have. And so it kind of gets elevated to this thing, like it's just natural. And part of it is most people want to be married. Most people will get married, you know? And so it seems like a bit of an aberration then if someone is single. Some thoughts we'll reflect on in a little bit, but keep going with your story. Mm-hmm. Where are you now? Like, do you feel like you want to be married, or are you just kind of open-handed about that chance?
I'm content with where I'm at right now, mm-hmm. and I'm fulfilled. There, sure. I mean, there is, an attraction to women, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to deny that, but as far as pursuing, mm-hmm. Or feeling as though I'm missing out on something,
sure.
Like I don't feel like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm super grateful mm-hmm. for that.
Yeah. Praise God.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Kath, let's turn to you. Kind of give us some of your upbringing history, how you came to Christ and singleness in your life and whether or not you ever wanted to be married or if that's a desire that you've ever had or still have.
Yeah. So there it is. I was raised in a Methodist home. In a Methodist church that really didn't preach the gospel. So by the time I was 13, I saw the hypocrisy all around me, and I rejected Christianity, basically. Mm. Did some searching when I was in early high school, looked at Islam, looked at Judaism, looked at what else is out there, mm-hmm. all of the above. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. I guess I had enough Bible that I don't remember, but I would look at those and go, oh, well, that's just a cheap copy of what is in the Bible. Hmm. Like that's no different and whatever. Mm-hmm. So my ultimate decision was, well, if any religion was right, it was Judaism. Hmm. Isn't that interesting? It was really interesting. Like, I look back on that and go, oh my goodness.
Why was that? Do you know?
A single God.
Yeah. Made sense.
I had, growing up in Southern California, a bunch of my friends were Jewish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I'd been to bar mitzvahs and whatnot. I don't know.
It was Judaism, not Christianity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
And it was because I saw so much hypocrisy.
Right, so you were turned away from that. You turned off from that.
So what I saw was if you are good enough, mm-hmm. you're going to go to heaven. Mm-hmm.
Which is not the gospel
at all. Right. And I saw all these people not good enough, including myself. I mean, I saw it in me. So anyway, that brings me to, I went longer story, so I'm going to shorten it. I ended up at Grace Community Church, mm-hmm. John MacArthur's preaching. Mm-hmm. I saw like light in this person's eyes, and she invited me to church. I went, okay, well, I'll go. I need more friends. And I was a junior in high school going into my senior year. I had started experimenting with drugs because I realized that life was just a mess and mm-hmm. why were we even here? Mm-hmm. And he was preaching in Hebrews directly through chapter 9 mm-hmm. and 10. And it was like, oh, Jesus is their Messiah.
Mm, yeah, interesting connection. So you're making the connection to Judaism and this Jewish Messiah.
Oh, it's so clear. And the Lord was like, so what are you going to do with that? Yeah. And that was when I bowed my knee to the Lord. So I was 16, almost 17. There was never a question in my upbringing that I was going to stay. I mean, I was going to get married. Mm-hmm. That was what my mom expected of all of my other brothers, and they were a lot older than I was, and she really expected it from me, because they all went off and did weird things with their
brothers.
Yeah,
so you were the holdout. You're the
holdout. Like, I was the last. I was 10 years younger than the middle brother, and so she was going to get the wedding of her dreams.
Oh,
her dreams. Yeah.
Her dreams. Yeah. My mom and dad were married in the 1939, so that was a very bad time to spend money.
Yes.
So they did just a justice of the peace, and so she had it all planned.
There's some dreams there.
Oh, big dreams. And so I was going to get married. Doggone it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought I'd be married by the time I was 23, and so here I am. I'm a believer. And isn't that, like, you just said it's normal.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't happening, and it wasn't happening, and the desires were still there. And people were saying, well, Lord's going to give you the desires of your heart. And the desires of my heart were to get married. Mm. And it just kept going on and on. And gosh, then you're the old maid. Mm-hmm. So from the female perspective, he's a bachelor. Like, he's cool.
Right. Right. That's true. There's some definite, you know.
Oh, it's total different ball of wax to be the female who's still single. So what's wrong with you, Kathy?
So at what age did you start feeling like there's something wrong here?
When it didn't happen at 23.
Yeah.
And then I had a really good friend that we sort of dated here and there. And at the age of 23, he tells me he's gay.
Mm. Oh, man.
That was like, I've been attracted to a gay man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's wrong.
So then you're realizing there's not much of a future here.
Yeah. So what is wrong with me? And then there were, through the late 20s and 30s, there were various sundry guys that I was seeking the Lord, the right person. I saw real messed up relationships. Mm-hmm. My parents were great. My brothers were really off the mark when it came to, I was like, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking for really, you know, the right guy.
Right.
And
who was helping you make a sense of your experience at that point?
I would say probably my mentor that I started meeting with, this gal from Grace. Her name's Betty Price. Hmm. And she's an amazing woman of God, single. And so the Lord was making sense of it through seeing how she was living her life as a single woman. And that was just a gift from him, because everybody else is saying, well, it'll happen for you. You know, it's just a matter of time, and the right person will come along. And
were you ever thinking, maybe I won't ever get married, or maybe I don't want to get married? Or did you have any other believers in your life say this is not a requirement in order to have a fulfilled Christian life?
No, nobody was saying that.
Hmm.
Yeah, really. Except for, I saw it in Betty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had an example in Betty.
I did. And then the scriptures are pretty, I mean, I'm not dumb. You know, Jesus was single.
Mm-hmm.
Paul seemingly single. Although I read a commentary today that was like, maybe he was married at one point.
And she bailed on him.
Or something. Yep. They didn't speculate on why, but because he was a Pharisee and maybe part of the Sanhedrin, it was like a sin to not get married. And I'm like, I never knew that.
Mm.
So it was possible. But anyway.
But he had a pretty high view of singleness, which we're going to get to.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. And I mean, I was well-versed in that. And so I was basically, you know, with open hands saying, Lord, if you want me to get married, you're going to have to make it really clear to me that this is the right person to marry.
Mm-hmm.
So, it didn't.
So take us up through 30s into 40s?
So in the 40s, late 30s, 40s, you know, all of those dating sites came up, right? Mm. So the Christian ones and all that. And
eHarmony.
eHarmony, and that's the one I joined.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I had so many bad dates. And that wasn't that many.
E-disharmony.
I was like, are you kidding me? And so I finally said, okay, Lord, this is, I mean, you're totally capable of working outside of this. I had some other friends that were single that did Match.com. Mm-hmm. And my friend who's married loves him. Mm-hmm. I really wanted children. Mm-hmm. You know, so there was mm-hmm. just a lot of things that were being left behind. So mid-40s. I did do some counseling, so mm-hmm. I did some therapy because there was other reasons for that. Mm-hmm. And even my therapist thought that I would probably end up getting married because of how much I really wanted it. Mm-hmm. But better late than never or whatever, wanted kids, right? So, and then just recently.
Kathy, you know, you've been a teacher for quite some time.
Yes.
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 And so you poured into many children's lives.
Many children's lives.
Did you perceive through that period that you wanted children, that you were, in a way, a parent, a mother to the children that you were pouring into?
Yeah, the Lord made that pretty clear eventually. But it took some time to see that. I also know that if I had gotten married, I knew that I would not work in a position like teaching mm-hmm. because it's consuming. Mm-hmm. And I really believed that the home needs somebody there at least part-time. Mm-hmm. And I would probably teach private lessons on the side mm-hmm. at the home.
You're a music teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Band director and mm-hmm. whatnot. So, yeah. So I really, I felt like, you know, I would quit.
During therapy, were you working through, in the counseling sessions, were you working through that ache for marriage, or was it mostly focused on other things?
It was mostly focused on relationship with my parents and, mm-hmm. and yeah. Family stuff, but that came up, of course,
yeah.
in okay. it. So,
yeah. yeah. And so where are you now? Did you hit a point where you're like, I'm happy single and I'm just going to serve the Lord, or have you kind of held out hope for
yeah, I think I probably went through some of those stages of grief mm-hmm. In my late 40s. Mm-hmm. And the Lord is just so gracious. He's so gracious and so good mm-hmm. to, you know, share with me deeply that how much he loves me. Mm-hmm. And so I knew all through that time that really my heart should be married to the Lord.
Right. Even, yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was all the outside forces and cultural things mm-hmm. and some of my own desires at the sure. same time that made that, okay, I really think I should feel that 100%.
Right.
And it was probably really late 50s. No, maybe mid 50s before that. Mm. But I started thinking about, okay, so if I were to get married now, so like people mm-hmm. were always saying that, you know, well, you never know. I say, I'm probably not going to get married now. And they go, oh, well, you never know. Mm-hmm. You never know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, do you have any idea how difficult that would be now?
Yeah. You're like, I'm fairly set in my ways.
Fairly set in my ways. But the the big fight is what Chance referred to is everybody sort of like looks at you and I have a housemate. My mm-hmm. goodness, she must be gay. Mm-hmm. Must be a lesbian. They're lesbians.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, 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 right.
No, it's not like that.
Thank you for sharing your stories, and I want to come back to some of that stuff. So, McGregor or Chance or Kathy, if you have questions for each other, then let's do that. But let me read this from, we said that Paul seemed to have a pretty high view of singleness, and you are both two people that I highly admire for your love for the Lord and your service to the church. And I see your involvement in the church as, and to the extent at which you involve yourselves, in some measure, it's because you are single. And you have some freedoms that other people don't have. And I think of the Apostle Paul. Here's 1 Corinthians 7, verses 32 to 35. He says this, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. And then he goes on to say, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but he goes on to say, so then he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. It's interesting. So share your reflections with me on that passage.
I feel very grateful to be in the position, the place where I'm at, where I'm content and have a burning desire to please Jesus and serve him and his kingdom mm-hmm. and make disciples and serve my church community in multiple different ways, mm-hmm. you know? And so...
Tell us some of the ways that you are involved in
yeah,
serving
well,
the church.
At Imprint, yeah, so I obviously am part of the prayer team, co-lead right now, Suzanne.
Right, and you are the prayer lead for Imprint Bothell. Together, and so we've been working together with Suzanne Imprint Woodinville, but you are the prayer lead, so I'm just throwing that in, not just a prayer team member, but you're actually leading the ministry and give some vision and shape to it and some of the practices that we engage in. So there's prayer, what else?
Right, and then student ministries, mm-hmm. so high school leader. There with
for
the high school guys.
Yeah, for the high school guys.
High school guys. Yeah.
And you have a retreat coming up.
We do.
Yes.
We do. That's nice. Coming up in the following weekend.
Nice.
Yep.
Awesome. And more reflections on the passage then, not because you're involved in ministry. Anything else you want to add?
Well, yeah. Also, the passage is saying that, you know, the one who is married is his attention is divided, right? Mm-hmm. He can't just solely kind of focus on the Lord and the Lord's purposes because he has to care for his wife
right.
and her
which
needs
is a good
well,
thing.
Which is a good thing, right. sure. And so for you who are married and serving the Lord in, you know, large ways, either through, you know, vocational ministry mm-hmm. or through other means, my hat's off to you because that's a big task, mm-hmm. you know? And children as well, you know. So I barely feel like I can take care of myself some days, you know.
yeah.
And keep things together. But being able to wake up and you know, get into scripture, be able to pray, be able to go out and have my mind solely on kind of what God would have for me for that day. Mm-hmm. Sure, I have responsibilities with work and mm-hmm. and other things, but not to be so divided, you know. And be able to give kind of my whole heart. I just feel very grateful to be in that place.
That's awesome.
And I think that gratitude is growing. I guess the more I see other people and the call of marriage and the burden that is and the responsibilities mm-hmm. there, I'm like, wow, Lord, that's a great thing. And you say it's a good thing, and I believe it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But part of me is like, I'm thankful I don't have to navigate all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. There's less complexity in your life, and there's more, I would say, more margin in your life. You just have more bandwidth for, would you say that?
Right. Well, yeah. sure. Because then, you know, say I meet people, you know, out when I'm out and about, my job is construction. And so I'm on the job site, and there's lots of opportunity there. The Lord provides me to have conversation with people and meet mm-hmm. people. I met a young man just a few weeks ago, Anton, and now he's coming to church. And
yeah, for the record, Chance is gifted from the Lord. I mean, we're all called to evangelize. Chance has a burden and a gift for evangelism, gets in conversations about Jesus with people regularly. People show up at church and like, how'd you get here? Oh, Chance invited me. So, you know, so that's good.
Awesome. Yeah. Right. And a lot of that is cultivated through the time that the Lord gives me.
Right.
To, hey, you know, it's Wednesday night. You want to, you know, grab some dinner or whatever? And hey, I don't have to go home to a wife and kids, so sure I can.
Right.
And there's just a lot of doors that are opened in that way.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
How about you, Kathy, as you reflect on 1 Corinthians 7 and Paul's holding up of singleness and being able to be undivided in attention to the Lord?
Yeah, the undivided attention to the Lord has always really caught my vision.
Mm-hmm.
And the job that I had at Bellevue Christian, it required a ton of nights and mm-hmm. weekends
yeah.
and trips, taking kids on
sure.
on tours and retreats. And that is why I thought there's no way, right? This is not a job for somebody who has a husband and kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it, you know, it gave me the opportunity to do that. also in other churches that I've been at, I've always, well, I was a Bible study fellowship discussion leader for a long time in the late 80s, early 90s. And through that time period, they require, you know, your commitment to your church and service. So I've sung in the choir, played in worship team. I chose not to do the youth group thing because I was doing youth group at,
at for my your job.
Yeah. Because in the band situation, you know, you're with those kids for years, right? Yeah. It's not just one semester or whatever. And so you're taking them on all these trips and you're basically doing youth group leadership plus, you know, and I was at a Christian school, so I was able to share my life with them as far as, you know, being a Christian and loving the Lord. And here, I've thought there's no way just going to church and that's it and not serving. It's like, that's not biblical. So yeah. I've always been in the mind of that's what you do. I mean, it's a right. community. The other thing I want to say is that very early on, it became really clear to me that the church is my family. That this is my family.
Right.
And so, I want to serve my family the way mm-hmm. I would serve my own family. And so, being a part and offering the gifts that the Lord had given me in music and saying I'm available to help, you know, to directed choirs and brought timpani over from Bellevue Christian to use for orchestral things and played clarinet. And
we don't have enough timpani here at Imprint, do we?
Yeah, no. No, so I've been involved in so many different ways of service that the Lord has offered me through the years that, and I wouldn't want it any other way. And He's made it really clear to me too now that it was His gift, and He is the gift.
Yeah,
it's interesting. You guys are almost talking about singleness as a vocation, and I think that's probably pretty biblical. It, just as marriage is a vocation. And I think maybe going back to what you said earlier, what's wrong with you? They must be gay or, you know, whatever. People have a skepticism towards singleness. And I think this is reflected in the passage we're talking about. Like the Corinthians are saying, it's actually better to, if you're married, just neglect your spouse so that you can serve the Lord. And Paul offers a corrective. And he doesn't elevate marriage above singleness or elevate singleness above marriage. You know, what he does is he says, here's the vocation of marriage. Here's how you serve the Lord. You image God in this relationship. And here's the freedom you have in the vocation of singleness. One, you can still image God. But two, like what you were saying, like the family, the context that my ministry happens in is bigger than a nuclear family. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think maybe part of the problem is that we have become so sexualized as a culture. And that we view marriage primarily as an appetite quenching context. Hmm. I don't know if that that makes sense of
Absolutely.
Your experience.
Absolutely, I've said that, and I'm so glad you said it because coming from the pastor's mouth, that sounds better.
Okay, so put it in your language. How would you have expressed that same thought?
If you're a human being, you're sexual, and so you must have to express it.
Right. Right.
Period.
Right, no, I read an interesting article, you know, because of the where we are culturally in sexual revolution and sexual identity, and you know, it's in culture, sexual expression and fulfillment is seen as like the telos, the end goal of human experience. That if you can't express yourself sexually, then you are somehow being limited in your humanness, so to speak. Mm-hmm. That the highest form of like being a human being is you must attain to sexual expression. And there was an article written by a Christian brother who is same-sex attracted and living a chaste life. And he wrote this beautiful article about how Jesus Christ is the fullest and most perfect human being who we assume had sexual desires that were never fulfilled because he was
not
single
married.
And he was not married. Yeah. And so Jesus himself is a picture of the highest imperfect form of, he is the image of God. and he did not fulfill, he did not have a fulfilled sexual, he wasn't fulfilled sexually, or he didn't express himself sexually in terms of sexual intimacy. And so I think that that's a really important piece for a single person, or even there's implications for like a same-sex attracted person who holds to a historic biblical view, that I can be a fully human person and experience intimacy with God and not have fulfilled sexual desire or expression. What do you think about that? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think there's also the... it's a problem of human nature. We reduce things so much. So sexual expression has been reduced to the act, but there's a guy, I hesitate to mention his name only because some people really don't like him. But I think on this point he's right. And he says that all of life becomes a part of our expression of who we are. And he's talking primarily as gender. But he says the modern understanding or disentangling of gender and sexuality isn't biblical. And I think I agree with him. And he says all of life becomes a sexual expression, and to reduce it to just this one little act neglects the full spectrum that God has imbued each individual person with and humanity as a whole. And yeah, I know when I was single, it was annoying how many people were like, let me set you up with somebody because your current status does not allow you to.
They probably attain. Should have started with, would you like to be, right? Like ask you a question.
The assumption was.
Yeah, you should.
Of course
you would. There's nothing wrong with you, right?
Yeah.
But here's the great irony, McGregor. You did get set up and you ended up marrying this girl.
Yeah, it was all.
That is a great irony.
All under my nose, man.
Yeah, that's lovely. So let's talk about your experience, Chance and Kathy, inside the church, and how do you think like churches should think about single folks, and how should we relate to and value single people in the church? How can we be inclusive and not make people who are unmarried, whether because they've never been married or because they've been through divorce, make them feel like they are less than because they're not married and they don't fit in as well. Because it's easier for like families to hang out, right? You know, like
people, right.
Kids meet each other and there seems to be more natural social opportunities to link up in relationships. So what's your kind of experience on that? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I would share that throughout my experience in the church, there have been a couple families that have invited me into their lives. That, you know, the lives with their children, their activities and stuff, inviting me over, you know, just on, you know, hey, a Wednesday night, we're going to be having a barbecue. Why don't you come over and hang out with the family, you know? And Tom, you've certainly done that with your family. Mm-hmm. And Rose and Jerry Tom are pretty diligent in including me. And so that makes me feel like I'm a part of something, you know, and I'm welcomed. And, you know, they don't really talk about the aim is, hey, when are you going to get a wife? You know, it's, hey, come and do life with us.
Right.
You know, and I think just
or when
having,
you get a haircut from Daniel Bustamante, is that you calling him up to say, can I get a haircut? Or is he inviting you over to get
it goes both ways.
Okay.
There.
Okay. Yeah, That's good. I don't know if that counts as friendship if he's giving you a haircut, but it probably does. I think
sure,
it does. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. No, he's
you guys are chatting. Yeah.
Yeah, no, his rates are affordable too. Yeah.
I don't know this about Daniel.
Yeah. He gives good haircuts.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, maybe I shouldn't advertise that over here over the podcast. People can start getting phone calls, people looking for free haircuts.
Fantastic.
Sport Clips will do the all-star treatment, you know, of the hot towel and whatnot. And he will actually he'll serenade you, if you leave the right tip there. So.
Okay, but sorry, I'm derailing us here, but back to relationships in the church as a single person.
Sure. So it's obviously biblical that there is a call for some people to be single and that enables them to serve the body in a unique way. Mm-hmm. And so I think that you know, that should be recognized, I guess. And I'm not like putting this call out there like, hey, you know, stop, you know, oppressing me with your, you know, perspective on singleness, because I don't feel that way, really, truly. But I guess it would be just in recognizing that there is a call for some people to be single, mm-hmm. that it enables the body to operate as healthily as it can.
Yeah.
And to be supportive of that. And to help meet mm-hmm. some of the needs that maybe are not met because they, you know, hey, I don't have a wife and I don't have kids, but it's really cool when I get to participate in your family. So, mm-hmm. and I feel, you know, filled up by that.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
It's interesting because I wonder, and I'll throw this out to you because here I am one female amongst four males.
Sure.
I sense that the families are more concerned about the bachelor who's not going to be taking care of himself very well.
That's so brutal.
Yeah. It's brutal, but I haven't gotten as many of those invitations as you have through the years.
Yeah.
Give
me your phone number. We'll have you over. We have, so one of our friends, Sunny, is
I think you have
single
it now.
And we,
yeah.
She lived with us for several months and we still like invite her over and she calls us her family. You know,
that's awesome.
And she has boys who are in Michigan. And,
yeah.
But we're like her family on the West Coast. And so.
Yeah, I see that. I see that a lot where the men are roped in. And I feel like it's almost, even if never spoken, it's almost because I think we know somebody we could set you up with. and then there's also the... I don't know. I've been trying to put my finger on it, but I think it's that in general, Americans don't know how to do friendship in the way that the Bible talks about friendship.
Right.
And so it's easier with males who don't gravitate towards friendship anyway. They can just be kind of in the orbit.
Yeah.
Whereas so women are relational.
Tell me what you think about biblical friendship, McGregor. Like,
yeah. So,
and maybe where some contemporary expressions of Christian friendship could be fully formed more into biblical friendship.
I've found that my single friends who have chosen, or the Lord has chosen for them, a single life, have more to teach me about friendship. Mm-hmm. The platonic friendships with opposite sex is possible, and a good thing. Even the church is infected by the culture's obsession with sex, which is often a stumbling block to real friendship.
Mm-hmm.
That emotional connectedness and vulnerability between people who are not in a covenant relationship of marriage, but in a covenant community.
Mm-hmm.
Is the way that spiritual growth happens. I don't know. Like, I feel like you guys probably have some things.
So, yeah, Kathy, tell us about your experiences of friendship and how you view like friendship within a Christian community as a single woman.
Yeah. So I've I've had a lot of single friends through the years, and then they get married. Well, you said mm-hmm. this at one point. Never. You were always playing at the weddings.
I was always playing. It's a take on always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Exactly.
I was always the music.
The wedding singer.
The wedding singer, never the groom.
I did both.
You were the friend who was the musician.
I was the bridesmaid and never the bride. Yeah. And then the musician.
And the musician too.
And never the bride.
Right.
And I don't know if it's that, if it's personality. I was pretty self-sufficient. I was taught by my mom to be mm-hmm. very independent.
Yeah.
But I never got, there's always a wish for some guy to come around to help move couches upstairs. And we were, you know, I wasn't getting a lot of that. I mean, there was sometimes some of the guys I actually dated. So I did date and I did have help with that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. But having to take care of, the other day I was up a ladder pressure washing the side of my house.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. And, you know, it's just like, other people would say, well, why don't you just get some of the guys to come over? I'm like, you can't ask somebody who's married.
Mm-hmm.
I can't as a female ask a married mm-hmm. man to come over and help take care of my house. It has to be offered.
Yeah.
Right. And seen. And it, I think that the church needs to be a little bit more eyes open.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good word.
To, oh, like if I have to hire it out. And here I was teaching at a school that didn't pay like near what the public schools
didn't have the
finances to hire out all that stuff.
Right.
So I had to become kind of handy on my own.
Right.
So I think probably the church, if the church could be a little bit more embracing, aware of and how to enter in it, you know, some people are probably going to go, oh, I don't need help or whatever.
Yeah.
But other people are going to be like, I really need help.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kathy, I have a question for you. What would you now tell to your 23-year-old
self?
Yeah.
Marriage and sex isn't everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord really will become like your husband.
Mm-hmm.
In a relational
right, yeah, way. And the intimacy. I mean, that's
his
what we
love is perfect,
yeah. Right? And that's what we were all created for. We were created for intimacy with God and with one another. And marriage is a high form, and a God ordained form of human intimacy. Mm-hmm. But it's not God's will that everyone be married.
Yeah.
So, but it is still His will for you to experience intimacy.
Exactly.
So there are other means through which to experience intimacy, and that's a beautiful thing. And we ought to strive, I think, as a church to be friends, deep friends with intimacy, transparency, vulnerability with one another, and invite people, not, single people and other people into our lives too. There's a lot of lonely married people, you know, like if we just invite people into our homes and rediscover, you know, Christian hospitality would be a beautiful thing. Chance, you look like you're going to say something. So,
yeah, I think that's a good segue into a thought I have about my experience and intimacy. And I think where I don't experience maybe the intimacy with a partner, I experience it with the Lord, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so just looking to scripture, so in Genesis 2, God says, it is not good for that man should be alone,
mm-hmm.
right? I'll make a helper fit for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's kind of the verse, the foundational verse that for marriage, right? The basis for marriage, and which is great.
But I would add, and I don't know if you're already going there, but I would add, I remember when we taught through Genesis that, yes, this is the first marriage, but this not good for man to be alone is not just that man, that every man should therefore be married, that he's creating humanity. Like, like this is a community thing, that this is for all human beings. Like, it's not good that they be alone, so I'm going to create a human family. So I do think that that verse actually speaks to the need for all human beings, including single folks, to have relationship. So,
right. But...
maybe that's where you're going. Where are we going? Sorry.
Now that's in chapter 2. Now in chapter 3, we see what happens when man and woman, you know, act autonomously, right?
Right.
And it's not good. And in many ways, you know, well, the world is acting autonomously if you're not in Christ. But even within, you know, the context of a marriage within the church, you know, if God isn't woven in, right, like a cord of three strands is not easily broken. If it's just two strands, then we're going to see problems in marriages, right? Mm-hmm. And that's certainly a thing that we experience now. But you know, that draws me to me, and I guess, and my experience, I've never felt as though I'm lonely. And I've never felt as though it's bad for me in my position, but I've felt content in the Lord. And I think that I see that when I read John 14, let me just read this, 14, 15 through 17, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, just before God gave, declared that it is not good for man to be alone, he told Adam to not eat of the tree. Right, so he gives him the commandment, and then he says it's not good for him to be alone, so he provides the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Now here in John 14, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. So he gives, you know, essentially you'll obey the commandments if you love me. Well, how is that going to happen? He says then in the next verse, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And so this is my experience. I look at this and I go, this is what God has done for me.
Mm-hmm.
He says, it's not good for me to be alone. So he has given me a helper. And I feel like the moments that I have that are afforded to me because I don't have a wife, I spend with the Holy Spirit, you know, and that, that he has my undivided attention. I'm not anxious, you know, in any other way, but him.
Yeah, that's really cool. And we can go back to, you know, biblical theology of marriage, that, that when God first had Adam and Eve in the first human marriage was, I don't remember, did we talk about this in a recent sermon or a recent podcast? I can't remember, but marriage, it was a mystery that was going to be revealed eventually in time, that marriage between a husband and a wife is a picture of the relationship between Christ, the groom, and his church, the bride. And so in the next age, in the new creation, there's not going to be marriage.
There'll still be single people, sort of.
Yeah.
Married to Jesus.
Right. But the church as a community is married to Jesus. And so really, human marriage is a beautiful thing. And it's a picture of the intimacy that we are all to have with Christ, and that we will have perfectly in union with him. And so even on this side of the next age, on this side of eternity, like, if some are listening to this and they're single and they're longing to be married, that's okay, right? Let your heart be known to the Lord. And he may provide a spouse or he may not, but there is a promise of his presence with you now, which is Chance is talking about now. And the body of Christ needs to come alongside and be friends and help meet those needs and enjoy the relationship of human friendship and intimacy. And then one day we will be perfectly united with Christ and we'll be joyful forever.
So, amen.
Yeah. So thank you guys for joining us and thanks for being vulnerable and sharing your story. We really appreciate it. So we'll see you guys next time. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.